2 Corinthians tonight. We're not in the things we know anymore. I gave you everything I know. And so we're going to be in 2 Corinthians and chapter 2. Actually, I got to read verses all around to give you context. I don't know if we're going to start any new series tonight, but I want to give you one lesson from 2 Corinthians. We'll start in 2 Corinthians 2 and go from there. I'm just going to title this, Why Paul Did Not Winter in Corinth. Why Paul Did Not Winter in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is then he that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me? I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly to you. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dig into this chapter here and some verses around it. And Lord, that we'll pray. We always pray, Father, we need you, and we need the Spirit. We need the Word to be rightly divided and clear to us. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us, speak to our hearts. But we don't pray that at a ritual, Father. We pray that because it's our heart's desire and our need, Father, and because lives can be transformed through your Word if the Spirit's speaking. We ask he would. We ask you to lead and guide us into all truth. We ask that we would have understanding and cover just exactly what you want us to cover and see exactly what you want us to see. Help us in this, Lord, and give us insight and wisdom. And may I just be hidden behind the cross and you saying what you want said and your word to be the issue. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, it's an interesting book. It's maybe a unique book in the New Testament, in the Bible, because it's all a defense of a man's ministry. And it's Paul writing his second book to the church at Corinth. His first book was a very strong rebuke because the church was doing all kinds of bad things. It had immorality. It had lawsuits among believers. It had abuse of spiritual gifts. It had coveting. It had divisions and strife. It was a mess, and sexual immorality had a lot of problems. So Paul wrote a very strong letter in 1 Corinthians to rebuke them. Well, there are people in the church and some people trying to influence the church, as is always going to happen, that basically attacked Paul and said, Paul, you don't listen to Paul. He's this, he's this, he's this, he's this. Don't listen to him. And they spent a lot of time at destroying Paul, so the first letter was delivered, and Titus came back and said, Paul, that they repented, they did very good. But then Paul heard that after Titus left, the bad people moved in and really started attacking Paul's ministry and saying, you don't have to listen to him. And Paul, as an apostle, as the authority, said, hey, listen, he didn't like doing it. I have to speak as a fool to you guys. I have to brag of myself, but here's why you need to listen to me. And one of the important thing, and it's hard for me to preach this at our church. It's easier if I preach this in another church. But understand this. one of the things the devil is going to do is he's going to try to cause divisions between you and your spiritual leaders. And that's, if a parent is a spiritual leader, then it'll be between the parent and the child. And if it's the pastor, if it's a godly friend that influences you greatly, it doesn't matter. If you're the relative and you're the spiritual leader of your relatives, you'll be surprised going, why are we having strife here again? How that, no matter what you, and I marvel. I've marveled at it over the years, how someone who loves me, who we've had a great influence on, who we've had a great relationship with, all of a sudden they're totally offended. And I always laugh when they're having a fight and I'm not involved, but it's with me. And you, I know you've been doing this and doing this, talk to me about this, and you've been, you know, I know you're really, you have this issue with me, and you didn't say hi to me because you're mad at me, and I'm just going, I have no idea what you're talking about. But if you ever are the person who's the influence, and it's funny, your relatives who you're the one to influence, you'll say, what is going on? Why is this happening? I don't understand. Why? Because if you're a bad guy, your message isn't true, is what they think, is what the devil tells them. And by the way, the message doesn't change. The message, if the message is right or wrong, it has nothing to do with whether you're friendly or not, or whether, you know, you didn't give your wrench back when you borrowed it, or whatever the issue becomes. And so, and it's very common. It's part of the deal. Try to figure out why Saul wanted to kill David, because David is delivering him from demons. And so the devil said, I've got to separate these two and cause strife there. And it's a strange thing. And by the way, some of you will have had that happen. There's somebody in your life who's supposed to influence you, and you are angry at them. You won't talk to them. You won't listen to them. You find fault in them. Don't do that. Okay? Don't let the devil do that to you. And by the way, they're not perfect. They're not going to be perfect. And so that's what the Bible says. A pastor has to be blameless. Because if there's anything, the devil's going to grab that thing big time. And it's hard to do that. And so what the devil does is he brings people in, and those people attack your spiritual leaders. And the Bible says the way to deal with that, it says this, well, one verse in Proverbs, this is an angry countenance drives away a backbiting tongue. You give him a dirty look. Then you say, stop. That's what you do. Is somebody who attacks this, your spiritual authorities, if all you have to do, there's several things. You give them a dirty look, you can do that. The Bible says to do that. I'm not being mean. That's the Bible says works. The other thing you do is say, have you talked to them about that? And that usually shuts them up. And then when they say, we just need to pray for a pastor, because you say, good, let's pray. Lord, please bless pastor. And that's what you do. Or please bless mom, or whatever it is you need to pray for. And you pray. You say, you know, you're right. Let's pray. That's what you do. And that fixes the problem, because there's always going to be that. And your leaders aren't going to be perfect. If I'm, you know, going off, and if I'm doing drugs in the weekend and robbing banks, and you find out about that, yes, there's a process where the church can remove me. And there's a process. That isn't the back. And don't let anybody become between you and your spiritual leader. We had somebody at church one time come to my kids and tell me something and say, don't tell your parents this. And I went to that person and said, don't you ever do that. My kids tell me everything. If you want to tell my kids, don't tell you something. And it wasn't good, and it wasn't appropriate. And don't ever. I never undermine parents. I don't care if they're saved or not, or good people or not. I don't undermine parents. It's not my job. They're the authority in their life. I might have to give advice and say, you know, you might want to handle this way, but don't let people come and pull you away. And so the whole book of 2 Corinthians is about that. And there's a time when you have to separate yourself from an authority because they're bad. I know that, and I'm not talking about that. But Paul was in the right. And one of the issues, and Paul has to deal with it, I mean, it was frivolous stuff mostly. One of the things is, you know, Paul is so weak in bodily presence. He shivers and shakes when he preaches. And Paul had to say, listen, that does not mean I'm not of God. That shows how amazing God is, because he put his power on me and I won you all to Christ, shaking and shivering. But that was an attack on him. So one of the issues he's going into, and I'm going to get to where we're getting to here, or we're getting there, is the issue at hand. Let me take you back to 1 Corinthians 16. And the issue at hand is this, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. But I can't do it. I gotta keep going. Noah did something bad as a leader of the family, didn't he? He got drunk and was naked. And two brothers handled it one way, and one handled it another way. And the two, and it's so symbolic, they walked backwards the blanket and covered the dad. They didn't focus on the fault. They just covered it. In other words, I'm not saying there's not a time when you have to rebuke somebody or somebody has to be removed because they violated that. But it's like when you get married. You go into marriage with your eyes wide open. And once you're married, you go with your eyes half closed. So you can say, I don't want, you know, maybe I should marry this person. They have these faults. Now I'm married to them. I'm going to overlook some things. I'm going to give some grace. And so you'll have to give grace to people and to leaders and to everybody. Your husband, you'll have to give grace to him and your parents and your everybody. You have to say, you know what, I'm not, you can find faults with anybody. And so anyway, here's what Paul did. And he had to deal with in 2 Corinthians, but it started in 1 Corinthians. Verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. It may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you. Now I said, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So basically he's saying, hey, I'm going to be cutting through Macedonia, and I'm in Ephesus right now. I'm going to be going up over to Macedonia. So he's basically here. He's going to cut across to here where Corinth is on the way up to Macedonia. So you know what? I'll just come for the winter and stay with you guys for the winter. Paul said, I might winter with you guys, and if the Lord will. He didn't make it. And the people attacking him said, see, he said he's coming. And you know what? This guy shouldn't be listened to. He didn't come in winter with you, did he? And so Paul systematically goes to 2 Corinthians and explains this is why this happened. So why didn't Paul winter with them? Well, it's very important. He has good reasons. And that, my friends, is why you talk to people. I think the reason they don't think. If you have an issue with your brother, you go to your brother directly. Say, you know what? I feel like you're angry with me. Are you angry with me? That's what you do. It's amazing how that works. When you actually talk to somebody, person to person, don't talk to them through a third party. You know how crazy some of the, what I think really is happening. You know how crazy that stuff gets? You talk to them. If you have a problem with your brother, the Bible commands you to go to them directly. Find out what the real story is. Don't make up and go into la-la land. The devil will give you all kinds of kooky ideas. Paul had reasons for it. He tells him why. So you go to them and you talk to them. And you just say, did I do something to offend you? Or I noticed you were doing this. And you know I don't think you should be doing that. Or whatever. Did I misunderstand this? Go tactfully, go sweetly, but talk to people. And it's very important to do that. And it saves a lot of strife, and it clears up a lot of things. You find out they really weren't a bad person a lot of times. So, why didn't Paul winter there? Number one, it would not have been good for them. It would not have been good for them. Chapter 1. Moreover, I call God for a record. Chapter 1, verse 23. And we're going to go through chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Corinthians. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet into Corinth. This is 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm in verse 24. For not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. For I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Paul said, you know what? If I came to you, it would not be good for you. I would not be able to lift you up. I would not be able to help you. It's not the time for me to get there. I was struggling. I tell you a dirty secret about your pastor. Your pastor stays very encouraged all the time. You know why? Because I know what I can't handle. There are certain people whose phone call I do not answer at certain times. Write it down. You can tell people about all the bad things about me. There are times when I can't handle that person. You say, I thought you were strong. I seem like I'm strong because I don't let myself get weak. That's why. There are times when I'm overwhelmed. And you know what I do? I do what overwhelms me. There are times when I just say, scrap the schedule. I'm going to the mountains for a day. I'm worn out. I'm done. Because me, I get refreshed being in the middle of nowhere by myself. That's what works for me. Now, some people go to the mall. Oh, man, what's wrong with you? I'd rather, you know, climb Mount Everest. But I know what refreshes me. I talk to certain people who refresh my spirit when I need it. And there's a time, and we'll get to it a little later, but it just wasn't good for them. He says, you know what? It would not have been good for me to be with you. Do you ever know? You say, I better leave now before I start talking. you ever know what I'm talking about? You say, you know, it's not going to be good for you if I could converse with you right now. And so Paul said, you know, it would not have been good for you. I did it for your good. I was doing it to spare you. It wasn't the right time. And it would have been good. Number two, and we'll focus a little more on it, it would not have been good for him. It would not have been good for them, but it would not have been good for him. Look at verse 2. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry with me? Look, let me take it down to verse 7. He's talking about forgiving the guy who was kicked out of the church for adultery. And he says, let him back in and forgive him. Verse 7, it says, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. If you don't, the guy needs restoration now. He's going to be overwhelmed with sorrow. He won't be able to handle it. Please understand this. There are times when you need to turn off the news. Might be good. There is times when you don't need to find out how many people died. And you don't need to know what massacre happened. You can get overwhelmed with sorrow and hopeless. Stay away from the dark websites. The world's going to end tomorrow. They're building FEMA camps for us, and you might as well just go pack your guns and move to northern Montana. Don't live in depression. Why does he need to find out what all the bad things that my grandkids are doing? Why? Because I need to know. 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 People think they need to know everything. I didn't lose my mind right there. People think they need to know everything. Bible says, be simple concerning evil. You don't need to know everything. And why are you watching all the movies about crime scenes and murder and serial murderers' mindsets? What are you doing? Think on good things. No wonder some people are so dark. No wonder you're so depressed. I'm bipolar. Maybe you just watch too much junk and listen to too much bad news, and you go check that person whose life's all messed up Facebook page to see how messed up they are. Can I tell you? If somebody's ruined their lives, I don't want to know all about it. If I can impact them, if I'm involved in it, but I don't need to know all the stupid people. Nobody has enough time to find out all the stupid things people are doing. Okay? You don't have to know what your neighbors are fighting about. I know they advertise the neighborhood. They scream at the top of their lungs. Boy, are they stupid. Why do you do that? And just get a megaphone. I mean, the whole point is, Paul said, you know, it is not good for me to be with you. I would not be a help to you, and I would depress you, and you would depress me. Can I say, depressed people love to read and talk to and listen to depressed people. And, you know, Paul would talk about, hey, so-and-so refreshed my spirit. Did you know when you're depressed, the very people you need the most, you don't want to be around? The devil tells you don't talk to encouraging, happy people. Find someone like you because you're happy there. Hey, man, I'm dying of tuberculosis. Don't want to go to the hospital. Those people are all healthy. I want to find some with tuberculosis to lay around and talk about how miserable it is with tuberculosis. Why don't you find someone who can make you better? Paul says, it wouldn't have been good for me. I was not ready to be with you guys. And if I made you sorry, I need you guys to encourage me. I would have made you miserable. You were already sorrowful because you repented. I was in a sorrowful state. I would have gotten you more depressed. And then he says, you would have depressed me instead of lifted me up. And we went thump, 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 thump. And he says, that's not what I want to do. It would have been bad for me to do that. You would have discouraged me. You would have drawn me down because I would have discouraged you. And I would have gotten way, way, way down. Now, he says, I need you to be strong enough to help me. Verse 3 says, for I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them, you, of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Watch his state of mind. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love that I have more abundantly to you. He says, now let me illustrate this. Okay, so Jeremy, come on up here. So Jeremy, you're down there. Jeremy is needing help right now. Okay, he's weak, he's struggling spiritually. I'm supposed to lift him up. But here I am, my back is out. I haven't eaten in 4 days. I'm just kind of lightheaded. And I go to lift him up. And I try to lift him up. Guess what happens? Does that do him any good? Now we got two people messed up. We got two depressed people. And now, see, the pattern is, I'm strong, I'm refreshed. Okay, I can handle this now. Come on up here. And I pull him up. And because I'm strong and refreshed. And but now guess what? He's strong now. That was fun. Let's do that again. No. And I'm strong. He's strong now. But you know what? Now he can, we don't have a chair up here, and he'll pull me up anyway and throw me over. But he can lift me up higher, and I can lift him up higher. Why? Because he's now strong. But if he's going to pull me down, or if I'm going to pull him down farther, it's not the time to do that. Okay? It's not time right now. Okay, you can be seated. Let me take it to Hebrews. Then I got some verses there. Hebrews, I got several verses. I'm lagging behind where I'm supposed to be in this sermon. And so Hebrews 5. He almost fell. That's pretty graceful not falling. That was mean. Now you got a reason to criticize me. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of what time we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and such to become such a need of milk and not strong meat. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12. So he says, you're not ready to be teachers yet. You're just not ready for that. And so you're not, it would be bad for me. You say, wait a minute, was Paul down? Oh yeah. Paul was suffering from some depression. He was having some hard times. Okay? Let me take a 2 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter, let's see, we're going off notes here. Chapter 12, verse 15. Second Corinthians 12:15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you all. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's depression. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians 4. Paul was struggling. He had several churches going away from God, several churches going the wrong direction. He said, if I'd have come that winter, I would have drawn you down, and you would not have been able to encourage me. I want you guys to get refreshed and built up, and then I can be excited because of how you're doing spiritually. And so he said, I couldn't do that. So I couldn't come to you. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. I couldn't be around you right now. I just couldn't see you the way you were. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at the start of verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, and life in you. He's troubled on every side. He's struggling. He's had those hard times. And let me take it to 1 Corinthians. And chapter 4. This is in the middle of the hard book where he's doing this. Chapter 4, verse 8, he says, Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think God has set us the apostles last, as we were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels and unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even as this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working at their own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer not, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as a filth of this world, we are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And Paul's going to go through in 2 Corinthians and saying, I am going through it. He said at one point, referring to the part we're going to get to in a minute, he says, you know what? No man stood with me. All men forsook me. He wrote the Galatians. He said, I'm weeping while I'm writing this because I think I've labored upon you in vain because you're departing from Christ. You say, wait, Paul got depressed? Isn't that terrible and sinful? No, we misunderstand depression in America. Depression is part of life. And you work on a depression. You just are a little more careful in depression. Who you're around, what you're doing. But it's part of life. You will go through seasons of going up and down and up and down. You know, you can be down and nothing wrong with you. You just live. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have depressing days. You're going to have days that aren't bad, but you're depressed anyway. The psychiatrist is going to tell you you're all messed up. No, it's called human. It's called hormones. It's called vitamin D. It's called all kinds of things. There's a million factors in it. It's diet. It's all kinds of things. Your mood can change when one cloud comes over and covers the sun. It's amazing. You know, more many people were happy on... Yes, was yesterday sunny? You know, people were happy yesterday and weren't happy today. You're in Seattle! It's going to happen! Daily! Listen, he just said it wouldn't be good for me. So, back here. And third reason, let me go back to 2 Corinthians. And so he said it wouldn't be good for me, it wouldn't be good for you. And so we just went on. He probably, by the way, I want to say, probably could not bear that and see them carnal and rebellious. I know that feeling. I watch people leave church. I watch them mess up their lives. And I pray for them. I'll call them. But I'll see them start getting the marriage problems coming in. I see them. I think they can get divorced. I don't want to see it. Now, they call me. They're in jail. I'll go visit them. Fine. Do that. Been there lots of times. But I want to say, I don't. I space that stuff out, just so you know. If I'm dealing with someone who's suicidal and the same day I got someone else who's in jail and same day I got someone else who's messing up their life and somebody else whose kid's on drugs, you know, if that all comes in the same day, I got the visiting day list for RJC. If it's Wednesday, I might go on Friday. Why? I don't want to become overwhelmed with much sorrow. And because Paul said it's not good for me. I'm frustrated. You guys have not been doing right. I am struggling some. if I went there, I didn't go there because I wanted to spare you. And it wouldn't have been good for me. And I would have got you down, and I need you to be doing good so I can look at you and say, look, my converts are doing great. I'm refreshed. And so you understand Paul needed them? Remember that. Your parents need you. It refreshes them. Your pastor, your friends, your relatives, the spiritual leaders, people need to be refreshed by their people. And that's important. Next, the third reason Paul didn't come is the Lord had opened a powerful door for him. Let's go and chapter 2 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking leave of them, I went thence to Macedonia. We'll get to that in a minute if we get time. Paul said, you know, a great door is open unto me. He talks about this. You can read about it in the book of Acts. Paul had a powerful open door, and he talks about it in different spots. The open doors are wonderful. Jesus said, behold, I set it before you, an open door, and no man can shut it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. You pray for open doors. Paul talks about praying for open doors. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians 16, 9. Open doors. But when open doors come, opposition comes. Let's go back to this parallel passage and that started the trouble in 1 Corinthians 16. Here's what Paul says. I'm in Ephesus, and I'm hanging out here, but I'm going to try to go over to Macedonia. However, I'm going to wait for a while because I got an open door here. But the door stayed open. Verse 8. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. It's a different sermon, but the battles were there where the open door was. Find the most victory. Find God doing a work, and you're going to find somebody under attack. When God uses you, expect the guns of hell to be blasting. And so you just got to steel yourself for that. But he says, well, guess what? He said, I'm going to stay here till Pentecost because a door is open, but at Pentecost I'll come if the Lord will. But guess what? The door stayed open. And he said, you know what? God wants me to stay here. I'm going to stay here and keep preaching. I'm not going to winter in Corinth and because a great door is open. Added on to that, he says, Titus was supposed to be coming back and meeting me. Titus never appeared. And back then, they didn't have the communication. So he went north instead of west and sailed over to Corinth. He went north to go look for Titus because Titus is supposed to be coming back from Troas. Titus never came to Ephesus. So he went to Troas, the last known place of Titus, because he's very worried about Titus. That's his fourth reason. Now, Paul said, it's not good for me. It's not good for you. I've got an open door, and then I got worried about Titus, and I had no rest in my spirit. I was so worried about Titus. Now, just a couple lessons from this. Number one, don't suppose the worst about people when they didn't necessarily fulfill all your expectations. Maybe they had something important going on. How many of us husbands, how many of us people who come home to people have said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Before you get mad, I have to drive I-5. You know, I mean, things can happen. The car can break down. There can be a thousand things. Don't suppose the worst about people and then ask them. I want to say this also is, and it's easy for me to say this right now because I just went to the Philippines. Everybody in the Philippines knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I'll be in Haiti in 3 weeks. We in America expect everything to go at clockwork. Life does not go according to clockwork always. In the Philippines, you guys saw it. We get this place. We're going to show a Christian movie in the village of David. We get there and they're digging a hole to put a projector screen up. We're going to have to wait 2.5 hours. And all of us were going, this is taking a long time. And they finally get the projector up, and then the speakers are going, hello, 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 hello. How are you? They're echoing. That was the funniest thing. I looked like such a genius. Like, all of us kept edging toward it to try to fix it because they had like five guys around it. And finally, I walked up and I looked over and I looked at the buttons, and one of them said echo, and it was on 10. They had tried to replug. They had tried every single thing, and I turned it down to 1. And I said, try it again. Hello. Ah, that was amazing. You're so smart, Pastor. I said, no, I read English. And so that was bad. And then they tried to get the computers to go up. And guess what happened? Computer didn't work. Charlie goes over there. Charlie walks back to look. If it's software, maybe hardware. I don't know what to do here. And Charlie couldn't. And nobody could figure out the computer. And so finally, now here's us. There is 160 people waiting to watch a Christian film. In America, there's riots. 2.5 hours later, the film hasn't started, and they're not going to get a film. Nothing's working. So, Brother Elmer walks up and says, "It's not going to work." And he's all, "It's not going to work." I'm going, oh no, because I'm American, and everything's supposed to work, and we like clockwork. And I say, "What are we going to do?" He says, "You know what? We're just gonna have a special music program for them and sing to them and preach to them." I thought, "Well, that's going to go over good," and I'm the guy who got to preach after that. He's happy as can be. They sing up there. People are. It's dark now. Thunderstorm coming. That thunderstorm looked pretty scary, didn't it? Thunderstorm's coming. They're sitting there just happy as a lark, watching us crazy Americans. All of a sudden, a toad jumps across the street. They pick up the toad like they'd never seen a toad before, and they're all handling a toad and looking at it and throwing each other, and all the people are laughing at them, dumb Americans. And, you know, that was entertaining. And they don't expect things to work right. We do. You know how frustrated we get when things don't... This was supposed to happen. And don't be irresponsible and show up when you're supposed to do it. But understand, you're on earth. The Bible says, don't say in such and such a city, in such and such a day, I'm going to do this. Say if the Lord will. You don't always know what's going to happen. There's health issues. And don't get frustrated if you had a plan for life and a plan for this and a plan for that, and it didn't go according to your plan. I started doing this last night. I was going home. I was tired. It was late. Came to church and prayed for a while. I was driving back home. And they decided to close 320th, the exit there, when I got off on it. And they closed too many. They didn't need to close that many lanes. Are you a better construction worker? Do you have better ideas in the way they do it? Aren't you like me? You can see. Why are you doing it that way? Can't you see better? I can do that. I'm going, you don't need to close all those lanes yet. And they just disorganize it. They didn't put the things in the right spot. And everybody's confused, going different directions. They're getting mad. And I got blocked in, and I was stuck. And I sat there. And I was getting Americanized. I'm tired. I am 200 feet from taking a left, and I'm gone. Just let me go. And I'm just looking. And people drive like people. And I'm just... And finally, I just said, what am I doing? I'm way too frustrated about this. Because I could see how close I was to getting free. Finally said, you know, Lord, you gave me some more prayer time here. And I stopped and said, I got to stop this. You know what? Don't be so frustrated in life when things don't... How many of you, everything that you have amazing plans, but they don't, for some reason, always happen the way you had it planned? Welcome to... You know what? Plan good. Have good plans. Most of the time they work out, but just relax. Big breath. It's going to be okay. When I go to Haiti, Haiti's worse than the Philippines. I will run into chaos. Vehicles will break down. People won't be they're supposed to be. I'll get to a certain point, and I'm supposed to meet up with these guys, and they won't be there. And they'll all just... I'm looking for a banana tree to stand underneath and eat the bananas, and I'm sitting there going... Until I, 2 or 3 days later, I'm like, I learned to do what they do. Why? We got a pretty controlled society. We can control it, but just relax. Don't have to be a control freak. Don't have to be a control freak. And rest in the Lord. That's why Paul didn't go to, he had good reasons, didn't he? It was fine. Guys, relax. I'm going to come to you again. Now we got an issue. I'm being attacked for this. Guys, you know me. I would have come if I should have. I'm not trying to cause... I wasn't doing something bad. And he talks about his name, and we didn't get the verses there early in the chapter. And he talks about, you know, I'm not lying. I didn't say it lightly to come to you, but I had these things happen. Just Don't hold that against me. Relax. And live that way. Assume the best. Relax in life. Trust God. And just relax. Just pray. Father, thank you for the word. There's a lot in there, Lord, and I don't know how practical this was to anybody, but Lord, it's important because you took time in your word for Paul to explain why he didn't come and spend time with them that winter. So I pray whatever it application it is for us today, I pray we'd have that attitude and we'd realize that sometimes we assume the wrong and get angry before we know and are a little too tense about things and just trust you, Father. Help us to have the right attitude in these things and help us to think the way that the Corinthians should have thought. And we just leave this with you and help us to be strong so we can lift others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes.